Hey, KU fans, welcome back to the Spodcasters. I'm Matt Tate, and I'm joined by Tom Keegan, and we are actually in Tom's Ford Taurus, driving home from the airport after flying in from New York, site of Kansas's 77-75 thrilling victory over Duke in the Champions Classic on Tuesday night. We're going to do a little podcast, not as much about that specific game, because we kind of covered that to death all day Wednesday and obviously all night Tuesday. But here they sit at 1-1. With games against a couple of really tough programs, top 10 teams, obviously. So we're going to break down each player, where they stand as KU heads into their home opener Friday. The schedule definitely gets a little easier, and there's a little time to kind of get things going.
So when we break them down, why don't you ask me the name of the player? I'll give you one word. We'll play word association. Then you try to guess what I mean by that one word.
Perfect. Should we go with the guys that played in the Duke game?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's start with the starting lineup, and let's start with Frank Mason. You might have guessed we were going to start there.
Clutch.
What do you mean by clutch? The guy just has a knack for coming up big at the end of the first half. No, he has a knack for coming up big all over the floor. All game long, he is by far been their best player.
Fearless.
Yeah, there you go. There's another good one-word association.
That's my one and only KU nickname that has stuck.
Yeah.
Fearless Frank Mason.
I tell you what, looking on Twitter and stuff today, I noticed not only is Frank Mason getting a lot of love from the KU fan base and locally, of course, but there were people talking about him as a legitimate Player of the Year candidate.
Oh, definitely.
A legitimate All-American candidate. I mean, this is a big-time performance that he put in both games, really. I mean, he had 30 points against Indiana, so you can't just brush over that. But the fact that he hit a game-winner in Madison Square Garden against Duke.
The fact that he pushed that game in Honolulu into overtime against Indiana. I mean, single-handedly, pretty amazing. And how about he gets his shot block driving to the hoop. This time he pulls up and arcs a jumper over the outstretched hand of Matt Jones, who has him by a good 6 or 7 inches.
Beautiful. You know what I would call that? Clutch.
Fearless.
Fearless. There you go. All right, next one. Devontae Graham.
Cramped.
That's fair. That's perfect for this podcast, because that is exactly where Devontae Graham stands.
In the corner is where he stands.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Bill Self said, I told him to go stand in the corner, and that's what he did. Well, a decoy. So why not have him stand in the corner? You put him on the bench, you know, whoever is in there isn't going to be taken as seriously or need right. to be guarded as closely. Duke didn't know he had cramps, so
no, stand and him that in the was the point.
And
yeah.
stretch the floor.
Spread it out, allow Mason to find those lanes to attack. He did throughout the final 4 or 5 minutes of that game, and that's really what set up that shot. So cramps is good. It'll be really interesting to see if they can get that under control. It didn't seem to be quite as big an issue against Duke, but the fact that they're mentioning it shows you that it was an issue. So something to keep an eye on for sure with Devontae Graham. Josh Jackson, next up.
Stopper.
Wow. Showstopper?
Defender. He's going to develop into a stopper. I really believe that, because he moves his feet so quickly and has such long limbs, and that's a terrific combination. And he has the will to become a stopper.
That's 100% right, yeah.
You know, you can only use one word. If I were to say two, it would have been potential stopper, but in word association, you're only allowed one.
Good, because he's not quite been the showstopper yet, but he has been a defensive stud.
Played 8 minutes in the second half and scored 11 points in those 8 minutes.
Awesome.
Played yeah. good defense.
Imagine being Grayson Allen, you know, a National Player of the Year candidate yourself, very talented, off the dribble especially, and you've got a guy like that with that kind of length, that kind of lateral quickness, who every time you tried to turn the corner on him, all you saw was his chest and his arms. I mean, that's impressive stuff that Josh Jackson did there, and if he can continue to develop that, he's going to be a big-time player, regardless of what happens on the offensive end. Carlton Bragg Jr.
Split.
I would guess you mean that's more or less like a split ballot right now. You don't know what to make of where he's at.
Nope, it's more specific. By that I mean, I think offensively you see enough there to know that he's going to pull it together there, and he hit a big, big shot. He's a great shooter. But defensively, you wonder, who can he guard?
Right. Yeah, he struggled defensively, especially guarding ball screens and helping when the guards that were guarding their men were screened and he had to show and help. He got lost way too many times, let guys go right by him, really in both games, but it was a glaring weakness.
He's just not there yet. No, he's not an instinctive defender yet.
Yeah, so split. I like that. I started thinking limbs, too, because he's so... arms and legs that, you know, he's like a big split tree sticking out everywhere. But we talked about this earlier, and you just mentioned it. I do think he's coming along, and his second two games were way better than his first two games, which is a good sign because obviously Indiana and Duke, way better talent competition than Washburn and Emporia State. So hang in there with Carlton Bragg. I think that's the right answer there. Split's a good one. And the final starter, Landon Lucas, what do you got for him?
Searching.
Searching is perfect. Yeah, he's still trying to figure out...
the new emphasis on the rules. Yeah. The fouls that are being called in the post that weren't in the past. He was so good at playing physically without getting whistles. Right now he's getting whistles and he's got to retrain his brain.
Yeah, it's taking him out of the game for sure. And not only... by putting him on the bench, but also his head. He's looking to the officials a lot more, doing the eye roll thing at the officials a little bit even. And I don't blame him on a couple of them, but if the whistle blows, you've got to adjust. They're not going to. So it's pretty amazing that they've been able to be so competitive without him holding it down, because right now he's their only proven big man, and right now he's not playing any better than any of the other bigs.
No, and you wonder if the foot is an issue and how much it's an issue, but I think I agree with you that it's the fouls are just as much an issue. Trying to figure out how to customize his game to the new emphasis on the rules. You can't change the rules but every 2 years, so this was one of the years where they can change the emphasis but can't technically change the rules.
And they did.
They did.
All right, let's move to the bench. Let's start with LeGerald Vick. That was the guy that got all kinds of love and talk about his improvement this offseason and this summer. He's definitely shown it. What's your word for him?
It rhymes with his last name.
Vick. Quick.
Yes.
He is quick, both with the ball in his hands as an offensive player.
A little too quick with the trigger on the three.
But as a defender, too, he's quick.
Yeah,
and
super quick. And
I
super
thought
long.
His best impact or biggest impact against Duke was... that he attacked the rim. He attacked it as a cutter, he attacked it as a rebounder, and he did try to attack when he had the ball in his hands a couple of times, too. That, I thought, especially early, lifted KU out of that funk where they kind of got hit with that haymaker early on and were stunned and on the verge of being knocked out of that game, and Vic really injected some life by doing that. So, quick Vic is pretty good. He's been about as good as advertised, though, don't you think?
Oh, I think so, definitely. I mean, Self said he's the most improved player, and I think if two games in, if you had to pick someone, that's who you'd pick. You'd pick Vicky. He played more than a third of his total season minutes in one night, 31 minutes. And last year, he totaled 91 minutes for the entire season. He usually came in at the end of the games,
right?
Shot it as soon as he caught it, and hit 50% of his threes. He does have a nice-looking shot. And attacks the basket well, so that's a nice combination.
Speaking of shots and attacking the basket, let's move on to Sviatoslav Mihailuk. One of the best offensive rebounds of the two-game stretch late in that game against Duke, and then one of the worst shots in the two-game stretch when he just kind of got short-sighted or whatever happened to him, but he couldn't finish that bunny that would have been a huge lift of momentum and maybe even a dagger. Turned out, like you mentioned a little bit ago, that it worked out just as well because now Frank Mason got to be the hero and it was a better story. But
yeah. And we're always thinking of the better story.
A rough moment for Svi after such a good play to follow it up with a little bit of a dud. But what's your word for Svi?
It rhymes with Vic's last name.
Vic's last name is Vic.
The brick. On this night, he was putting up bricks. He was a mason, and his first name wasn't Frank. He was a bricklayer.
Unbelievable how much he struggled offensively, but I thought, again, he's a guy that played, what, he played 28 minutes or something?
Yeah.
I mean, that for him and 31 for Vic, those are big-time minutes for guys that haven't done that very often. And so the fact that they had to be out there as much as they were because of foul trouble mostly shows you that they're okay, and that if they can just get their feet under them a little bit, they're going to help this team a great deal this year. Obviously, everybody knew that, but it's nice to see that they're on pace for that. Let's move to Udoka Azubuike. Don't rhyme with his last name, please.
Determined.
Determined.
Because he really looked out of place in the first half. He dropped a pass. He double dribbled. He just was lost. And he kept going after the ball. And he figured it out. And he had 12 rebounds in 15 minutes, 4 on the offensive end, 8 on the defensive end. So I'm going to say determined.
Yeah, I love the word because you can see it in his face. You can see it in his actions, the way he moves. After having kind of stone hands there in the early going, like you just talked about, those mitts became, you know, like forks at the end. He was just finding the ball whenever it came off, and he grabbed some really, really big rebounds.
And he grabbed one of them right out of Jefferson's hands. He just out-muscled him for it, which was cool to see.
How about the biggest highlight, though? His steal and coast-to-coast missed layup that he remained determined after and went out and got the rebound and then decided, I'm going to do what I do best, and that's try to rip the rim down.
And then I forget who it was. The next time he got a rebound, a defensive rebound it was, I think it was Frank Mason who all but ripped the ball right out of his hands because he was afraid he was going to try an actual coast-to-coast.
Yeah, it was. I remember you talking about that during the game. Good
smart
stuff.
Play by Frank Mason.
It was, one of many. And yeah, Azubuike looks like he's well on pace, too, for that development. This game, I think, helped him as much as any game could possibly have helped him.
And he's, Self made a remark that was definitely interesting. He said that he is the guy of everyone on the team who will have as much to say about how good Kansas becomes. By that, he means he has the most untapped potential and how quickly can he get there, because he's 7 feet, he's really agile, he's a really smart guy, and he's really determined. So it's going to be fun to watch him develop throughout the year and eventually maybe become their starting center.
Yeah, I think whatever happens, it's going to be a blast to watch that guy play. Last, Mitch Lightfoot, he only played 3 minutes, but he came in a very important time in this game when Kansas really needed a guy to go in and not foul and try to be big. And he was a little overmatched, but only physically. He didn't look scared. He didn't play scared. He looked like he was comfortable out there and he belonged. He missed a couple free throws again, which is something that I think is driving him crazy. I know he talked about that after the exhibition games when he was missing free throws, but he's probably thinking too much. So what's your word for Lightfoot?
I'm going to say premature, because I don't think he was ready for that game, that big a spot against that good of an opponent. I think he's a program guy that you see so many in this program develop and become so much better over the course of their careers. That's an awfully big spot for a player in his second game in college, and he just didn't look physically ready or maybe even emotionally quite ready for that big spot.
The thing about him is, too, there's a good chance. I love his demeanor. I love his attitude. I love his energy. I love how he plays. But there's a good chance that he could develop over the course of this season and be ready by, say, February sometime.
Sure.
But that's also the time that Self trims down that rotation and doesn't play 9 guys. So it may just not work out to coincide there. But I feel like he's going to play.
If he went to 8 and Mitch Lightfoot was on the outside looking in, no problem there. There's next year.
Yeah, absolutely, and probably 4 years, so that's good too. Any final thoughts about KU 1-1? I think a lot of people, and maybe not you, but a lot of people thought they'd beat Indiana and lose to Duke, and it went just the opposite.
Yeah, that's what I was saying going into it. I thought, well, Indiana, there's not much difference between Indiana and Duke without those three freshmen. I mean, Indiana is welcoming back one of the best shooters in the nation who was injured last year in Blackman, and then they have Thomas Bryant, who's one of the best big men in the country. So if you played Indiana and Duke together, why would you necessarily favor Duke there? So I didn't see much difference in these two opponents, and it turned out they were both games and went right down to the wire, and Frank Mason sent one into overtime and won the other. So it'd be a tough top 10 to put together right now, but it doesn't matter. It's so early in the year, but it'd be cool if all three of those teams made the final.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, I agree. They're hard teams to guard, hard teams to defend, hard teams to play against, and they play hard. I mean, they're fun to watch, all three of them. So Kansas gets to play at home now, and then they have the CBA next week. They'll play at home Friday night, though. Well, just last thing, real quick, where do they go from here? I mean, they're obviously going to take a step down in competition. They're no longer playing the Indianas and Dukes of the world. I think that's probably the best thing that could happen to them, because now they can really work on some things, and not only work on them,
confidence.
But right, yeah, if they can, you know, they weren't great guarding the ball, and Duke and Indiana both exposed that a little bit. Well, if they show up and shut Siena down in that regard, yeah, it's still Siena, but that's how you get confidence, is by doing it.
Right,
so,
and there,
I think
now's
that's
the
huge.
Time you want to see Carlton Bragg become a better defender, maybe get some confidence defensively. The time you want to say Asabuki get more minutes and become comfortable and learn how to play without fouling, things like that, and maybe Josh Jackson taking over an entire game,
sure.
Just seeing how much he can dominate a whole game.
Also not fouling.
Cool. Also not fouling, and I don't think you'll see a temper technical out of him anytime soon. I think he realized how close that one foul came to costing Kansas the game, and he's going to check his emotions next time.
Off to a wild start to the 2016-17 Kansas basketball season. We'll be there Friday night at Allen Fieldhouse for a lot more, and have all kinds of coverage throughout the day. But for now, we'll sign off here with the first edition of Word Association for this season. We'll have more of them, I'm sure. They're always so interesting. We've got words like quick and stopper and determined
prick.
And prick. Yeah, all kinds of good stuff. So if you have to rewind, don't waste your time. We'll talk to you guys next time on the Spodcasters.